You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, documentary maker Martin Dušek takes us around some of his favorite haunts in the latest edition of My Prague. Chris Johnston describes an unlikely conflict with his neighbors in Letter from Prague. And later, the holidays are here, and many Czechs will no doubt spend at least part of them canoeing. We'll meet a keen canoer in Czech life. But first, Martin Dušek is one of the most distinctive documentary makers in the Czech Republic and is a two-time winner of the top prize at the Jihlava Festival. Next weekend, he'll be in Karlovy Vary at the film festival with his latest work. But this weekend, he's giving us a tour of his favorite haunts in this edition of My Prague.
Among the small number of Czech directors in competition at the Karlovy Vary Festival, which gets underway next weekend, will be documentary maker Martin Dušek with his latest work, Into the Clouds We Gaze. The witty filmmaker, who comes from the North Bohemian town of Česká Lípa, suggests as the starting point for our tour of his Prague, the place where he works. One of the city's most distinctive functionalist structures, it's a large building by Vltavská metro station, owned by developer Orko and currently home to rather rough-and-ready office spaces.
Well, right now we are in kind of a big hall in the amazing building which was built here in Prague in, I think, 20s. And it used to be a central place for some electrical company. And now it's been turned into kind of offices for independent designers, artists, maybe journalists, and kind of these people who can meet here and work in their offices, pay a bit too high rent for some of them, and enjoy the bad air condition, which makes the place very cold in the winter and very hot in the summer, because the air condition system comes from 20s. And I think that the whole building is kind of protected by some authorities because of its historical credit, and so that makes it so unique, but also very unpleasant, like in these days.
I was here maybe 5 years ago at Design Block. They used what are now offices as little rooms to show the design items in. Is this space kind of temporarily being used by people like yourself as offices, or is it going to be permanently like this?
Well, we don't know really. It's been said, I think, two or three times during the last 2 or 3 years that the whole project is going to end very soon, but still it's working like that, so we don't know. But I have heard the rumors that it will be closed in next year, next spring, so we will see. And I think that the developer, the company, they want to turn it into some posh offices with some high rent and everything, so we will have to find another places.
Also, I've seen this space used several times in Czech films and on TV.
Yeah, in this series České století, I don't know.
Czech century,
right. And in some advertisements, because it's very designy and still in the original state.
It reminds me a little bit of a ship in its design, but also like a prison. It looks a bit like a prison with these single rooms with kind of walkways overlooking a large space.
Yeah, it's a ship full of prisoners floating on the Vltava River, and we don't know where it's heading.
You were saying that many people work here, like designers, journalists, filmmakers like yourself. Is there a kind of community here?
I think there were some attempts to get the people more together, some film project that everybody would participate in, but at the end I think it depends on the people, and they are developing some groups. I'm sharing the office with editor Janka Vlčková, who is really great, one of the best Czech editors doing documentaries and feature films. And we met here these graphic designers who call themselves ex-lovers and they become our friends, and we are working on the projects together now.
What about outside the building? Because when you go out onto the street, well, it's not a street, you're almost on the Magistrale, the main road that runs through Prague.
Yeah, it gives the whole place industrial touch or independent touch. So we don't expect that we will be in the center of the park. This is much more cooler. But it's better to have an office on the opposite side of the building.
A couple of streets away from his office building at Bubenska 1 is another place that Martin Duszek spends a good deal of time. The sparely decorated, airy and very pleasant Kavarna Liberal in Leszewice. Over a cool glass of Unietice beer, the 30-something documentary maker explains the place's appeal.
It's a cafe, but it's furnished and designed in a very sober way, very simple. It's not a posh, designy place. That's what I like about it. And during the day, it's quite empty, so one can sit here and work on a notebook. And in the evening, it's quite crowded, and you can meet lots of people here, friends, and it's a, like, natural centrum of this quarter, and it's not far from the office building, so it's for us it's the our favorite evening target.
Also, it strikes me as not being a typical Czech place. It reminds me of somewhere, I don't know, in another European city, maybe Berlin.
Well, maybe it's a bit Vienna type cafe, right? And also they started to cook here. Only some pasta, but it's really good for a good price. And the beer is great here also.
They have my favorite beer, Unietice.
Yeah, Unietice. There used to be this Unietická kultura, Unietice culture, some ancient culture from the Bronze Times, or how is it called in English?
The Bronze Age.
Bronze Age, right. So the beer is really, you know, perhaps here for a very, it's been tested for a very long time.
Generally speaking, what do you think makes a good cafe?
I like places which are not pretentious. They don't pretend something that they are not. And with a good beer and coffee, of course. Mainly because still it's not a natural way to have a good coffee in a cafe.
In this country in general, you mean?
Yeah, in this country. Not in Italy, of course. And also it must be a place where some other people you know are coming, so you can meet naturally, and a place where you can meet always somebody.
What I think is key to a good cafe is big windows. Seriously, you can't have a good cafe without big windows.
That's true. So that you can watch the bus on the street. I don't mean bus like a bus, but a buzzing street. Maybe with a bus. Well, that's the typical Czech sense of humor on some very low level.
And what about old style pubs? Have you got any favorite pubs in Prague?
Well, I have to think. I haven't been in a real pub for a long time. We used to go to Uhoutku
in Žižkov
when I was studying at the journalistic school. They had a good beer and fried cheese with fries. But yeah, I've always been more a cafe guy than a pub guy. But what's interesting that the beer belly has developed in a cafe as well.
Well, I've got to say, when I first came to Prague, I loved all these old-style pubs. But there came a time where I decided I just don't like those places with the green tablecloths, very smoky, smelly toilets.
Yeah, it's when you get older, when you are getting older, you need some more cultivated environment to be in, especially when you are very often in those places and you are spending most of your time there.
For the final stop on our trip around Martin Duszek's Prague, he and I hop on a number 17 tram from Leszewice down to the Naplavka embankment on the River Vltava. There we enjoy decent and inexpensive fish soup at an narrow wooden restaurant simply named Vltava. a spot that long predates the Riverside Strip's relatively recent elevation to hipster hangout.
I've been here only a few times, but I went here 2 weeks ago with our editor, and we really like the stuff here, the fish soup and the atmosphere, and also the herring, like pickled herring. It was one of the best pickled herrings we ever had. And there is also Mirek, the waiter. He can't be very repulsive to the guests, but it's partly a fun, it's partly old Czech waiter's tradition. But it's his uncorrectness. It is refreshing, but you have to negotiate with him. Right here, we are sitting here. The one wall of the house is open, and we are sitting literally next to a little boat on the river, which I think is amazing. It's right in the middle of this Náplavka with the cool bar stands, and we used to go a lot to Náplavka 2 or 3 years ago when the place started, and now it's a bit too hipster place or young people's place, and we now feel much better to sit in this fish restaurant having a fish soup and a beer and watching ships than to be among these people in these crowded places.
Do you know who used to come here back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Havel came here.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know. It was a favorite place of Václav Havel, and I heard that it happened that some nasty developers and the city of Prague wanted to get rid of this restaurant, and Václav Havel kind of helped to do the thing and helped that it's still here.
Also, he used to live here. His house is maybe 100 meters away from here.
Yeah, true. And, you know, you don't really have lots of fish restaurants or fish places in Czech Republic, which I think is a bit weird, because we got all these fish ponds areas in South Bohemia or even in the North Bohemia, like near my home city of Česká Lípa. There's Máchovo Jezero, which is in fact a fish lake or fish pond. So I'm wondering why the Czechs are not working with the fishes more. You know, you could have a fish soup in every restaurant in this quality, and it would be amazing. It has a big potential.
My Prague with documentary maker Martin Dušek was produced and presented by Ian Willoughby. Now from the banks of the Vltava to the balcony of one apartment in the Czech capital, as Chris Johnston explains an unusual problem in this edition of Letter from Prague.
I have now become an expert on pigeons and avoiding my neighbours. The two, you might imagine, go together. The pigeon nightmare that has haunted my last weeks began when I bumped into the head of the flat owner's cooperative in the street where I live. "I have a nasty task for you," she said. She continued to describe how pigeons had made a nest on my balcony and that I should get rid of whatever was there by any means as soon as possible. This woman is not the sort you want to get on the wrong side of, and her death sentence on the presumed pigeons was not to be taken lightly. My balcony is a sort of unused appendix to the rest of the flat. It broods over a dark inner courtyard, and I curtained it off and never bothered looking there very much. I crept out, and true enough, two pigeon chicks looked bleakly and beakily back at me from a discarded plastic paint pot that made up part of my balcony mess. The liquidation and cleansing order were not carried out. But the matter was raised again at a regular flat owners' meeting a few days later. I'd thought I would turn up and brazen it out, but this turned out to be the wrong tactic. At first, the meeting seemed to be going well, and was mainly occupied by a change in the Czech law, which seemed to suggest a change in the state statutes of the owners' association. What the law wanted and what the owners were prepared to settle on was far from clear, and the meeting turned nasty with raised voices and accusations. At one stage, one fellow flat owner accused the other of being mad. and the imposing association chairwoman danced up and down throughout the meeting ahead of her frequent verbal interventions. Bring it on, I thought, as the diversion from the pigeon issue continued. But as I attempted to creep away from the shouting, I was called back. The pigeon issue was soon raised, together with a suggestion that I should call in some professional pigeon-killing firm, I suppose at my own cost. I checked on the internet for the time it takes for pigeons to fledge, and the rather vague Czech law on their protection, or lack of it. I should add here that Prague 2 Municipal Council appears to be a nest of pigeon haters, or have some links in the contract killing business, since they were all in favour of liquidation when I asked for advice on the bird's status. No worries about protection there, they assured. Unfortunately, although pigeon milk is supposed to be the equivalent of Popeye's spinach for strength-giving qualities, the chicks took weeks to grow and fledge. In the meantime, the regular evening rings on the doorbell started, and eventually a large notice targeting the untidy pigeon-hosting balcony owner on the second floor appeared in the entrance hall. To avoid the neighbours, I got up early and worked late, or went to about every evening film showing in Prague until I'd almost seen all the latest releases. I covered my bedside lamp with newspapers so that the glow would not give me away when I tried to read at night. The television, this was pre-World Cup football days, was switched off because of its betraying light as well. The stairs to my flat were climbed in socks and with bated breath, ready for a quick escape. Around 4 weeks of this escapism came to an end last week, with the flight of the young pigeons and parents. I wish them luck, but not an early return.
My thanks to Chris Johnston for that letter from Prague. Now, the summer holidays have just begun and many Czechs will no doubt be taking to the water for canoeing trips that are extremely popular in this country. One man who has an avid interest in canoeing is Igor Lobovský, and he speaks to Jan Wellinger in this edition of Czech Life.
This sport started in Czech Republic around the beginning of 20th century, and it was such a bizarre sport for most people, and it started popular in the 70s after occupation by the Soviet army, when here was totality and time of normalization and people tried to escape from reality and civilization, and it was why it started to be so popular. It is connected with tramping culture or scouting and spirit of freedom and West culture. Values of nature, sleeping in the forest, cooking on fire, and playing guitar, things like this.
How do most people pick up the sport? Is it through their families or, for example, school trips, physical education at university? How do they sort of come to canoeing, or is it different for everyone?
Nowadays, it's quite easy to pick up this sport because it's not difficult to do the sport, and it's everywhere. So I think usual is using a friend's community, and usual is in basic schools. There are big school trips into rivers, and also parents used to take their children from early childhood to the rivers, so it is quite easy to pick up and to continue in this tradition.
How much of an emphasis is put on safety and learning the sport properly? Because obviously you have to be able to paddle properly, you have to be able to handle difficult situations. For example, there are many sluices along the river that either you have to disembark and you have to carry the canoe, or you have to shoot through it, and you have to know how to do that.
I think it's not difficult because Czech rivers are not dangerous. Everywhere it's slow and calm, and I think only one danger are jellies. Some of them are not possible to go through safely. So it is necessary to know about them or to respect the signs.
Are there rivers that present more of a challenge, more of an adrenaline kind of sport, where you have white water, where you have boulders for people who are very experienced?
I think in Czech Republic, there is very low of them. There is only some upper reaches of some rivers, and it's only in spring when there is more water, and so the sport canoeing or sport kayaking is there popular in these times of spring. But after the spring, I think there is no place, no water which would be called wild or white water.
How do you think that the experience of canoeing or kayaking or rafting in the Czech Republic differs from areas like North America? Because there are things that are very specific to the Czech tradition that for all the wilderness in those countries that you wouldn't find there.
I think in the Czech conditions is the biggest difference that everything is so close. There is everywhere a pub in a walking distance, or when you are going down the water, you are lot of times moving around some culture places like the castles or some historical monuments, and so it is simple and much used for connection with culture. And also with drinking beer, which is a Czech national drink, and so it brings this big connection, big relaxation, and values connect.
Vodáci sobě, what kind of business is it, and what would you say is the main reason you founded it?
Vodáci sobě is the project which has main aim to help canoeists have a good overview of the market of boat rentals. The main reason to create this project was to increase the concurrence and environment, because nowadays here started lot of big boat rentals, and it starts to be not so traditional but commercial. And project was created to bring to boat rentals a tool to inform canoeists and raftists to explain them why they should choose their boats.
How does it work, the auction? Does the interested person, the canoeist, choose, say, from two or three different sites, and they offer a better price, or how does it work?
Mm-hmm. Canoeists easily specify using a simple form his idea of the trip, and the boat rentals sees his request, and they make their offers. Part of offer is the price, and also part is the text information about what it includes, and this is the place where they can describe all the sides of their offer. And often there happen that customer choose not the cheapest offer, but they choose by the text description which offer looks most traditional, or which brings best feeling for them.
One of the things that you stress on the website is that you are not in any way competition for rentals. In fact, the opposite, that you are making people aware that the different companies exist. How many firms have now registered with Vodáci sobě?
In this moment, there is registered 54 boat rentals, around 66% of all market. So it's quite a big number, because this project works for 2.5 months. And there was made around 150 auctions successfully. It means it's brought to canoeists offer which they used. So we are satisfied with this number, and we think it will be increased in the future.
Do you think that this sort of helps maintain good business practices, or to improve them?
Yes, I'm sure about it, because the concurrence makes the practices better, because customers have a possibility to describe their experience with the boat rentals and also to vote to give them positive or negative votes. And this makes that when the consumers are best have best experience or best feeling of the practices, they will suggest this company to other canoeists.
How does the site pay for itself? Is there a fee for companies that sign on, or is it through advertising? How does it support itself?
Companies pay for being in this project, not for registration, but from each business. They pay 5% of each business.
Does the website also serve as a forum or board for the community where people can write their experiences or give updates on, say, the conditions of different rivers?
Yeah, we have created a forum module. It is quite new. It is for 14 days, so it is not much used. But we already have a big Facebook community, and there people used to tell their experience or ask the experienced one to suggest or to explain some issues which the less skilled doesn't know. So it's used for community issues, and I'm glad of this. I'm a canoeist, not a sportsman, but I do it with my friends community from for a long time, around 15 years, and it is so I have close to this sport, and I saw, because my company Online Apps makes a website application, and I saw this should be made better, because I thought that small companies have big disadvantage because they doesn't know internet, and they need a tool how to inform their consumers, and so I brought them this tool, hoping that it will help to canoeists and also increase the tradition side of this sport. So it was the main idea.
Igor Lobovsky was talking to Jan Wellinger in an interview first broadcast in August of last year. And I'm afraid that's brought us to the end of today's program from Prague. Should you like to get in touch, then please write to english@radio.cz. Of course, you'll find us online at radio.cz. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today, and take care.